Hey, John. Hey, Drew. Want to talk about Star Trek?
Engage.
Brilliant.
I'm John.
And I'm Drew.
And this is our ongoing catalog of everything, 1 hour at a time.
Let's talk about Star Trek.
First of all,
what's Star Trek?
For a second.
Wow, that's a lot of yelling right there.
First of all, this is our first time with a special guest.
Hey.
Oh, we got. Hey, Brett.
Hi.
Hey.
Yep. How you doing? We've got Brett here.
How'd you get here?
Beam down.
No!
You got really upset.
Did it already.
That was really lame. Yeah.
Let's do a quick name so that people listening can distinguish us.
All three of them.
So all of us can tell each other's voices. All of our friends who can recognize our voice.
Everyone
would say your name at once. Ready? And
I'm John.
I'm Drew.
And I'm Brett.
Okay, great.
Hey.
So Star Trek is what we're going to talk about. And
why are we talking about Star Trek?
Well, I think there's a few reasons. One, Star Trek.
Why not?
It's coming back. Good. That's reason number one. Why not, John?
Yeah.
Reason number two is it's coming back. We've got the J.J. Abrams.
We're hoping, yeah.
Phenomenon.
Yeah, after a long time in the death.
It died for a while.
Clawing its way back.
Brett and I, recently went to the Star Trek convention in Nashville.
Nashville, Tennessee.
At the Gaylord Opryland Resort and Hotel.
Freaking huge.
Which is a thing off.
What of it?
Hello, pot. I'm the kettle. You're black.
We have a good cross-section of knowledge here. I would say, Brett, that you know the most about Star Trek.
Well, I mean...
Of the three of us.
Would you say you're a Trekspert?
Yeah, I think you did. I don't know that I'm going to quantify that. But... I've been watching for a long time.
Yeah. I know a fair amount about the more recent shows.
Yeah.
Next Generation, DS9,
yeah.
Voyager, Enterprise. John, you don't know a lot, right?
I like Tribbles. Tribbles.
I have a Tribble.
Trebles.
You don't know.
Wait, are they Trebles?
No, they're Tribbles.
No, they're Tribbles. I know that.
Your knowledge. How far does your knowledge extend?
I grew up knowing of Star Trek, but not knowing Star Trek. How about that? And then about midway through The Next Generation and its original airing, I became patently obsessed with it, as I do with many things.
A lot of people in our generation did.
Yeah. But it was like exclusive to that time period. It was like I had no real interest in setting aside time to watch Star Trek. And then all of a sudden, it was like I would do nothing but watch Star Trek. And then I was like, I'm not watching Star Trek.
How did you...
But I am quite familiar and have a large affinity for the films.
That's what I figured.
The original films. Not the next-gen films, or does that include it?
How many next-gen films have there been? Like two?
First Contact, three? Generations, Insurrection, Nemesis.
Wow. That's four. All right, so four. Yeah, I mean, definitely the original cast movies are definitely more my...
Name them.
The Motion Picture.
Mm-hmm.
The Wrath of Khan.
Mm-hmm.
The Search for Spock.
Mm-hmm.
The Voyage Home.
Very good.
That one that nobody likes.
The Undiscovered Country. No, that was the last one.
That was the one that everybody likes.
Final Frontier.
The Final Frontier was the one that nobody
liked. Cybok. It was bad.
Do you think
the big floating godhead that gets blown up by a fucking Klingon float-down torpedo? That's good.
See,
the problem is
that was coming right after Humpback Whales, which there's nothing cooler than singing Humpback Whales.
I wanted to ask, do you think people were pre-described to dislike it because of the whole even number is the best ones and odd numbers are not?
I don't think so because I didn't recognize that as a phenomenon.
I've never even heard of that until recently.
I mean, it occurred to me after Undiscovered Country came out. I went to see Undiscovered Country for my birthday and loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. And then it was like, why does the fifth one suck? When the fourth one was so good and the sixth one was so good. And then I thought back to Wrath of Khan and how awesome that one was. And then I was like, and Search for Spock was not very good either. Well, are we getting ahead of ourselves talking about the movies in depth, or do we want to start with the movies and then go back in the show?
Let's keep it organic, guys.
All right, let's roll. Okay, so
let's talk about the shows. No,
we're not talking about the movies. So, no, I definitely like, I gravitate toward the original cast, and I think that's because the Next Generation cast was never as strong of an ensemble as...
I'm going to have to disagree with you on that. I'm going to feel that the first two seasons were really bad.
Yeah, but you, and I got to say, you don't know what you're talking about.
I will say Next Generation had a different feel, like, from... the original series, and well, especially from DS9, where you had, you know, a stationary crew
bike.
Yeah, they had a stationary bike as well. Odo used to ride a lot, but no, I mean, you had basically the stories had to come to them, and the people were not going to leave. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. And I mean, I think it was a little more like in the original series. You had the whole cowboy dynamic. Everybody was kind of loosey goosey frontier situation. Yeah. So I think
sleeping with green chicks
I mean, Next Gen, it was a little like, you know, the first two seasons are pretty rough to watch. Yeah. Especially the second season with Pulaski, the old lady doctor, I think the worst. I mean, just because you're in the original series, I don't think that mandates you be brought back.
Yeah.
But
true. I agree.
Third season on, I think it was really powerful. I mean, I think that it really started to gain strength, and I mean, I don't think anybody can really argue with that. But I mean, I think, as far as being a better ensemble, I don't know.
That was me completely making shit up, honestly. Because I don't know why the original cast movies are better than the Next Generation movies.
I don't know that they all are. I think, you know, First Contact is a hell of a movie.
Yeah, I think Generations is really good, too.
I think it's okay. I'm just saying, I can't recall. They all sort of run together. All the Next Generation movies sort of run together in my mind. There's the one with the Romulan, and then there's the one with the Earth, and the other one with Malcolm McDowell. And there was another one?
Earth was in First Contact.
What was the fourth one?
Nemesis. That was Nemesis, the one with the Romulans. Is the Romulans.
Okay.
Insurrection is the third one.
Insurrection is the
That's
hardest.
That's the Borg Queen, right?
No, that was the second one, First Contact. Insurrection is a really hard, easy one to forget. That's the one where they deal with the Sona, and there's the whole crooked Starfleet Admiral, and they're trying to transport these people off of their utopia. It's kind of a...
Maybe I haven't seen it.
They had the hollow ship up in space where it was supposed to, like, they were going to transport them off their planet and put them onto another. It was not their finest performance.
I have no recollection of that. No.
A lot of people don't, I don't think. I think out of all of the movies, Insurrection is probably... I mean, it's still Next Generation. I mean, I can still watch it, but like...
Yeah, I can watch it.
But it's... I mean, I would much rather watch that.
I wouldn't kick Insurrection out of bed.
Yeah, no. But, I don't know. I think that Nemesis got a bad rap because, like... Well, like, what was his name was saying with the... Roddenberry's assistant.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what was his name?
He was a guy who was an assistant to Gene Roddenberry for many years. Yeah. And has been a consultant on pretty much every Star Trek property, right?
Yeah, pretty much. From what they said, they've at least talked to him.
The Scott Mosier to Gene Roddenberry's Kevin Smith.
Well, his explanation of their relationship was with Paramount and the studio was that he's basically at the party. He's the gay uncle that they don't let the kids talk to. Because he's been grandfathered in. You know, he's been around all these years. He was the post. He's the closest thing to Roddenberry we have besides, you know, Gene Roddenberry. Gene Roddenberry. So he's had the
Eugene
most
Gene? Is that his full name?
Eugene/Gene.
Oh, okay.
No.
I thought
Eugene.
That would be unfortunate. But, I don't know. I thought it was also a little dismaying to hear from his voice, you know, the kind of official word on Star Trek that they're planning never to do any other Star Trek movies based on any properties that's no longer new. Like, they're never going to go revisit Next Gen. They're never going to revisit DS9.
Yeah,
Voyager.
They've set up this
Enterprise. It's all dead.
They sort of set up this new standard with the new film. You know,
and it's there is
should,
no
we should probably
no plan
say,
to deviate
yeah,
from
they're
the,
they're trying not to ever go back to it.
And let's say at this point we're going to say a lot of spoilers if you haven't seen Star Trek of any sort and you do want to see it and don't want to have anything ruined.
Anything. We're talking about the new movie.
Don't listen. But in the new movie.
Well, in general, though.
Spoiler alert.
I think we'll talk. Yeah, I think we might get into some spoilers. Because
I'm going to spoil things.
Look. Oh, yeah. I mean, what's the point of doing a podcast if you don't spoil shit?
That one with the whales and the Malcolm McDowell? That one.
You already said those.
Yeah, you brought that up.
But it is, you know, the
Christopher
the
Lloyd,
same
though,
movie, right?
Klingon, right?
He was. Yeah.
Yes, he was. But yeah, we should. Man, that's a whole. Scott. That's a whole episode in and of itself. Yeah. Was like
great
guest
Klingons.
Guest
Klingons.
There's been a
featured
lot.
Klingons.
Tesh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Mick Fleetwood was one of the Antarians. He was like one of the fish-headed guys in the first season.
Yeah. Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, Fleetwood Mac.
Stevie Nicks. Wasn't David Warner? David Warner was a Klingon.
Oh, yes, David Warner was a Klingon in one of the movies.
He
yeah.
has been played many a role.
Yeah,
in the
he's
Trek
been
in
a Star Trek. He's been in Next Gen. He was on DS9, I believe, too. I want to say.
Pork. Lord Wille Ko'o. Huck George. Shokoov Moach Language Law or Ted George Language Vodbel Rap Shove Danobe Po'o Boa Shabbat Shalom.
Oh, that was lovely.
What was that gobbledygook?
Well, it's a blessing for my son, Po'ach Lord Welekor.
That means nothing. It's gibberish.
What?
That's not gibberish. It's Klingon.
What?
Oh, dear God.
Freddy's dad just blessed him in Klingon.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the new Star Trek film, they essentially...
This is the J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, right. They make it clear that we have embarked upon a new sort of universe. Mm-hmm. That things that may have happened previously will not happen necessarily in this new timeline.
Well, I play Star Trek Online, and they've really, really adhered to the canon with the game, and they've basically, what they've done is they've incorporated the new movie as a completely separate alternate universe. Hmm. So Spock did disappear from the timeline at that point. Romulus is destroyed after the movies, because the game is set 25 years after Nemesis, the last movie takes place. So, I mean, they're following it completely canon. Like, Romulus is blown to shit.
There you go.
So, as it should be.
As it should be, right? They're a bunch of fuckers.
Yeah.
I think it's a little harsh.
Well.
I would, something
next,
genocide.
Okay, next to the Dominion, who's the biggest shit disturbers in the galaxy? Actually, before the Dominion.
Humans.
Romulans.
Oh.
The all humans.
Right. Oh. I don't know about that. That's
inverted mirror.
We're talking Star Trek.
The Romulans are the humans of the universe. I'm holding a mirror up to you.
Okay, so you're saying we're talking Star Trek universe versus our universe. They're more the actual human character.
Well, I guess the humans are us.
I don't know.
So you're saying
right
the
now.
Romulans are conflicted deep down is what you're saying.
Are they?
They're a beautiful rose that maybe has to sit out in the rain occasionally.
Oh, I mean, really, all the races of Next are any of the Star Trek races are just reflections of different portions of humanity.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, Ferengis are the greed. I mean, that's the capitalism, basically. Man. They're the Republicans.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead and get that out of the way.
The Klingons are the raging sort of anger, battle lust.
Alpha males.
Or the
Surge alpha
guys.
Females. Yeah.
The extreme
guys. Surge
guys.
The Urge
guys.
Surge!
No, not the urge, surge. You know, the extreme.
Jump right in on the urge to do it.
Yeah, Nate, way to sing one of the worst urge songs.
Man, it's the one that most people like.
I like that you had to qualify that, the one of the worst urge songs, as if there is like any.
Well, everything on that album is not that great. But anyway, we're getting off topic.
Did the urge ever appear in Star Trek?
I want to have to say that they did. I'm pretty sure that they were Kazon on Voyager.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. The space dirty bastards. The Kazon. Yeah.
What do you like about Star Trek? What do you like most about it? You, Brett.
Brett. Well, I don't know. I mean, for me, it's always been kind of a place to where, I don't know, it's an escape. Like, you know, it's the best that humanity, I think, could ever ascribe to be. Like, and we're so far from that at this point. I mean, it's just something that I can look at to be like, well, you know, I wish I could live in this universe, basically. If I could choose any, like, alternate universe, any kind of fantasy universe, anything like that, it would be the Trek. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
You know, for all of, like, the war and stuff that goes on there, I mean, more or less, you've got like the Federation.
Yeah. We're getting close.
It's a pretty good.
We're getting close. I think the technology's getting close. Yeah. Especially, you've got communicators, cell phones.
Right.
You've got 3D printers. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of a harbinger to replicators.
Well, yeah. Right. I mean, I think what John was saying, like, I think he's right. I mean, it's. I mean, even if you were the most destitute human on Earth. Mm-hmm. You still are never going to go hungry. You're never going to be mentally...
They've sort of figured out all of those problems that continue to vex us.
Everything quashed. I mean, everything that we wish we could be is what the Federation is, essentially.
Yep.
And I think Roddenberry was super smart and thinking about that, or, you know, thinking about all that kind of stuff. It just... I don't know. There's so much that...
What I really like, and this is going to sound silly, but I really like the uniforms. I do. I love the way the uniforms look.
Mm-hmm.
I love a lot of things about this show.
Well, let me ask you a question, Drew. What is your favorite uniform from any of the series?
Oh, come on. You
any
knew that was coming.
I know.
You had to know. I mean, you can't throw a question like, oh,
it's not like we're going to be like, what's your favorite phaser?
Yeah.
You know?
I actually really like the most recent rendition of the uniforms in the movies.
The J.J. Abrams one?
No. The, from First Contact on, I think, is when they started that.
Yeah, like the basically what they, the next, the DS9, right, with the gray top and the blue tunic, and the colored tunic underneath, the black.
It's I love that
uniform. It's a classic uniform, I think. Mm-hmm. It's really...
But I think the uniform to me is obviously part of the Federation. That's what I really like too about it, is this organization that is all about exploration and, you know, science and sort of and unity. It unifies the planets, right? The it is the United Nations of the 24th century. But a good one.
Yeah, an actually effective one that does stuff
right
to help people, as opposed to... By the way, kill the UN, if maybe you didn't say that already. It's kill the UN.
We're getting so political.
Yeah, I know.
But that's what Star Trek does.
Ridiculous. That's what it does. It pushes buttons.
Well,
but Gene Roddenberry, he was like, well, I've got this space show, but it's missing something.
It gets political without being in your face
about it.
But at the same time, he was not making... It was clear. He was commenting on society in a way that most had not.
Mm-hmm.
John, what do you like about Star Trek? What is it that draws you in?
I don't know. I love the sort of alien of the week element to the original series.
Yeah.
I mean, it is like the Batman series, the Adam West Batman series in space to me. In
favorite
a lot of
alien?
Regard. Oh man, I don't know. Frank Gorshin with the black and white.
I was gonna guess it was the black and white one.
I love him. I love.
What are your feelings for the Gorn?
I like the Gorn.
Yeah.
I really wish that they would have explored the Gorn a lot more, because they kind of like put him out for one episode and then they never went back to him.
Yeah,
it's like one of the coolest series.
Yeah.
Or one of the coolest species.
But you know, I mean, like, nobody would ever buy it now, I think, if they tried to make it.
Yeah, unless they CGI'd it and it would just look ridiculous.
Because.
What about Star Trek The Next Generation pulled you in? You said it was different.
It was different. I think, well, it was two things. One, when I was a kid, I would always project myself into things.
I did this.
And I would be like, where do I fit into this?
Absolutely. I still do this.
Well, yeah, I do too. But like, when I was a kid, I would obsess over it. Whereas now, I just think about it at work. But at the time, I would be like, you know, I was, I don't know, 10 years old or something, 9 years old when they started airing. And man, I was maybe a little younger than that. I don't know. Anyway.
It was 87. But,
oh, wow, man.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's like 40 years ago.
Oh. Wow.
So, but I love the idea of being like some sort of weird alien
Wesley Crusher
that just hung out on the ship, you know,
Wesley Crusher. Like,
yeah,
without the sweaters,
yeah,
or maybe with the sweaters.
With the sweat. Hey, now we already talked about the uniforms, right?
That's true.
Weird alien kid. Some alien orphan.
Who's that guy over there? That's a creepy alien kid. Don't talk to him. It smells funny.
Like a stowaway. Like an intergalactic stowaway.
Hard to do that on a ship with the sensors.
The sensors are picking up a weird alien kid.
Beam it into space.
Or a blast.
They don't even look at it. We're picking up some sort of life form. Beam it into space.
I would just hang out by the crystal chamber or whatever it was. I mean, Geordi would never be able to see me.
They beam you into space, and then they go to warp, and the like warp exhaust burns you alive. Or they go to warp 3.
Oh, it was a short-lived fantasy.
See, if they went to warp 3, the deflector would push them aside.
Damn it.
Yeah. Sorry.
They're like, turn off the deflector shield.
We want to hit this motherfucker. I want to see that dude slice on the front.
But the other thing, the other reason that I liked Next Generation was the...
So wait, the reason you liked it was because you could imagine yourself as a weird alien kid amongst the crew.
I think that's valid.
Well, that was part of it.
There were a lot of kids.
That was part of it.
Yeah.
That was probably like what kept me with
it.
What
kind of alien would you be?
But...
That's a good question. I was going to ask you guys that question.
What kind of alien?
Which alien out of the Star Trek canon would you be?
I don't know. I kind of like that tar pit that ate Tasha Yar.
That tar pit's Argus? Pretty bad.
Armus. Yeah, Armus. That guy was... That's not actually great. That's just ball of hate kind of thing. So, I mean, you're getting there.
It's not a Starfleet uniform. Yeah. It just keeps killing you.
Because he always made those funny noises
when
he got angry.
He's a really good science officer.
You'd have to constantly be finding a shuttlecraft with Counselor Troy in it, recovering it, harasser.
He would have a bucket, much like Odo did.
He'd probably need more of a bucket. He'd probably need more
like a bathtub.
Yeah, maybe a bathtub or maybe something like that. Trash can. I don't know.
Okay, so John would be the
oil slick.
The oily, hate-filled substance.
Which totally reminded me of that thing in Creepshow 2. Have you ever seen Creepshow 2? There was like a giant tar thing in one story that like ate a whole bunch of teenagers. And I always thought they were the same thing. I always thought like eventually it fell to Earth and then it ate teenagers. Yeah,
that wasn't enough. Yeah.
That probably is what happened, really. Yeah. I mean, let's be realistic here.
What alien would you be?
Oh, that's a hard question.
That is hard.
I mean, the easy question would be Changeling, but...
They're pretty cool.
The easy answer would be Changeling, but, you know, I mean...
You hang on that big ocean of everyone else.
It's kind of creepy.
Weird.
No so private it, thoughts,
so John,
basically.
For your edification, the Changeling... Odo was a
founder
of Deep Space Nine. Yeah, the founder.
I remember him.
Lived on a planet, and basically, you were part of the. What do they call it?
The Great Link.
The Great Link. And you spent most of your time in your
liquid
sort of
state,
goop form. Yeah.
Just commingling and intermingling with
like
galaxy species.
In a giant ocean of.
Think of a giant planet filled with. Or covered in an ocean full of.
The goop.
Made of people.
Yeah, but it's the people.
Yeah,
right. And you can come out of it.
It's the people that make it worthwhile.
Right.
Changeling? Yeah, would you go with that?
I don't know. Let me come back to it.
All right.
What's you?
Man, it's really hard. Yeah. I don't know why I'm leaning towards Bajoran. I don't...
Because they're so femmy?
I guess. No, I mean, I like the Bajorans.
No, they're really spiritual
that was...
people.
Ridge knows.
Yeah.
Major Kira and Tiro.
Kira.
I mean, the thing about the Bajorans is like, okay, yeah,
big
they kind of have this big religion thing that their world sensor fighters. Around.
Yeah.
Are centered around, but their gods kind of exist and kind of actually do
totally
send them shit. So,
there.
Yeah, that's not bad. I think I probably would go with Trill if I could be joined.
Okay, here's the.
I think that'd be pretty sweet.
That would be. Ooh, Trill's good.
Yeah, 7 or 8 different lifetimes
Trill
behind you.
Jadzia Dax.
They didn't really use that. They did one episode with Trill on our Next Generation, and he had some weird head thing, and they'd completely changed it. But yeah, the idea is that you get, there's a symbiote that lives inside each of the Trill. Well, not each of the Trill. They get selected from their whole planet, basically. It's very few people that
gets
picked.
Yeah, you have to apply and do a bunch
of tests. Biggest rigorous testing. Mm-hmm. And then once, if the host dies, the symbiote is taken out, passed to a new host, thereby transferring memories, life experiences.
It's gross.
It's pretty gross.
It's like transferring HSAs to FSAs.
Let me qualify this. Mm-hmm. If I were... going to be an alien on the show, like me as get to play a alien,
right?
I would want to be like a Klingon or a Jem'Hadar, just to wear a bunch of cool makeup.
Yeah,
right.
So that look cool.
So you could have a
latex
apparatus.
I agree with you on that. It would be cool until we actually sat down and did it. Because like none of those people like that.
Well, you're gonna have to get up at 3 a.m.
Right.
Once you're done, you
sit in a chair for 5 hours and you can't blink.
I love not blinking.
You can't breathe.
I love not blinking.
Breathing.
Yeah. I totally hate air these days.
I don't know what I would be. I wouldn't be a Vulcan or a Romulan.
Romnambulin?
I would be a Gorn. Ooh, you know what? I might be an Andorian. They're pretty cool. They got those antenna.
Yeah, that's the
blue. I might be a the green skin.
Orions.
Yeah, just have green skin.
Yeah, there's not really much different about the Orions. They've got the Orion skin, Syndicate. Cool. Yeah, they got a big crime guild, international galactic crime guild. Syndicate.
The Orion Syndicate.
The O'Brien Syndicate.
He did actually. There was an episode we just watched really recently where he tried to where he was the mole for the Orion Syndicate.
That's right.
Bill.
Why was he? Did they do that because his name is O'Brien?
No, I hope they
did. I hope that reasoning was like.
I don't know why they really.
His name rhymes with our syndicate.
They never did say why they chose him. They just picked him.
Predisposed.
Did you figure out what alien?
No, I said Trill.
Oh, Trill. You went with Trill. Cool. No, that's good. Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, that's only if you could be joined. I mean, otherwise you're just...
Well, yeah, you don't want to be an unjoined Trill.
Yeah, that's kind of lame.
You're basically...
God, yeah, no.
You're human with a skin condition.
You got the cool things, but...
Yeah, that would just be pointless.
Yeah.
Let's stick with favorites for a second.
Yeah.
I don't think I already know the answer that both of you are going to give, but favorite series...
Deep Space Nine.
John.
I've got to go with Next Generation.
Sorry. I would also say Deep Space Nine.
What was it about Deep Space Nine that stood out beyond?
Well, you mentioned it earlier. The cool thing about Deep Space Nine, and what I think what it has as an advantage over every other show. Is that it is a space
three-word title.
Three-word title.
Just like Steven Seagal. Every movie Steven Seagal has ever made. Three-word title.
Out for space.
Winner. Yes.
Hard to face.
The Deep Space Nine was on a space station, so everything had to come to them, and the stories, the writing had to rely on character much more than any of the other shows.
Yeah, as opposed to like crazy aliens.
Yeah, couldn't just be weird situations. They find another planet. Yeah. Exterior, purple sky.
Yeah, exactly. Like they really had to focus on the relationships of the characters
and the writing. I mean, it had to be there because you're looking at the same people every day. They're not moving.
Station. Yeah.
They're, I mean, it's yeah. I think that's I have to agree with Drew. I mean,
that's my number one fave.
Yeah.
Now, why do you love Star Trek: The Next Generation so much?
Yeah. Why are you such a big man? Think you're so cool with your Next Generation? You want to fight about it?
My TNG tattoo. Yeah. I don't know, honestly. Well, it's probably because that's the one I'm most familiar with.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, I mean, I never watched. I never watched Enterprise.
You could see yourself as a little weird alien kid.
I did. Yeah.
I never watched Enterprise either.
Never watched Enterprise. Never watched Voyager. Watched maybe the first season of Deep Space Nine. That's about it. And I've only seen like intermittent episodes of the original series. So, I bonded with the people on.
Who's your favorite character on Next Generation?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Data.
Riker.
No.
No, I'm thinking mine.
Okay. I was thinking his is Data.
Yeah.
I like Worf. Data.
Worf.
I do like Worf.
Troy.
I would say it's probably between Data, Worf, and Troy.
See if you like Worf.
Are you serious?
I'm serious, yeah.
I nailed it.
Yeah.
If you do like Worf, you should finish DS9 because he's a major... He comes into the show at some point.
Can you say that in Klingon?
No. Yeah, Worf becomes a big player on Deep.
Well,
he was in
one of the movies too.
Yeah. He's in all of the movies.
Yeah, he was in all the Next Generation movies. Everybody from the cast was in all the movies, except for Wesley. He showed up. He was in one scene in Nemesis.
It's
at the
too
beginning.
Bad because that when that was right at the time that he was so awesome.
Yeah,
and like he had become more than his
more
Wesley
human
character.
Than
right.
Human.
Well, that was after he got back
Will
from
Wheaton,
the Traveler and all that stuff, so he was less lame.
But Will Wheaton himself had...
Done being molested by the intergalactic molester. Traveler.
My favorite Next Gen character, Geordi was my favorite, for sure.
You gotta love the banana clip.
Loved him.
Why?
I just love that visor, man.
I thought you were going to be like, look, I love to read, all right?
Yeah, I
love books.
Yeah, I love that I knew him from Reading Rainbow.
That was the best episode of Reading Rainbow ever.
Yes.
Yeah, where they went to Next Gen.
Where he shows you, here's
oh
how the doors work.
God, I was flipping my shit when they played that episode.
Yeah.
It was like, there he is. It's really him. He's talking to Michael Dorn. Oh my God. Yeah. Look at the buttons he's pressing.
Hi, welcome to the Starship Enterprise from the television show Star Trek The Next Generation. Now, you might have seen me here before on the bridge as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, the ship's navigator. But now, let me show you something I'll bet you haven't seen before.
I love that episode.
That set, I will say, that's another thing we haven't talked about yet. But the bridge set, well, all the sets on Next Generation, on awesome. The Enterprise, were awesome. They were like just the right blend. Like, they had character, you know? They were definitely...
Except for first season.
Oh, I mean, you can't really judge anything.
Yeah, the bridge on the first scene is... Yeah. It's weird. It's, like, vacant.
Yeah.
I mean, it just... They didn't really know what to do with it. They were uncomfortable with it. Yeah.
Yeah, those sets, man.
They did such a great job.
As a kid, man, did I ever want to, like, play on those sets?
Oh, no. The buttonless
It goes for all the shows for me. Like, every Star Trek property... The sets are just like,
oh, I think that's part of I think that's part of everybody's love of Star Trek, because I mean, you see the bridge and I mean, you're just like, I want to be there.
Yeah,
like,
I want to sit in that chair. What, I want to press those buttons.
And they sell that chair too.
You know what else is really cool?
Several thousand dollars. Let me have you know.
The cool thing is, like, they nailed it as far as like device design, like the glass front.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no real buttons. Sliding and you know, your finger across basically... stuff. Like, they had iPads on those shows.
Yeah.
Oh, they did. Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, the pad, and they were actually called pads, PADDs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Like, the one
the captain always used to read on them. Yeah.
Boop, boop, boop.
And then he had his little desk.
I hadn't even thought about that.
He used to have a little desktop
like, tripod
and stuff, too, because he used to have the little captain's computer.
He had his little nook.
Oh, man.
It looked exactly almost like that, except it had one button in the middle, and you just pressed over the screens.
So awesome. So,
I don't know why they needed that one button, though. That's one thing I never got.
That's
like,
power button.
He's got the one button. Hey, man, you gotta turn that thing on.
Don't
computer.
Leave that on.
Computer. You must use
that
the button.
I always wondered was...
Picard, you have to use the button.
The computer never called him Picard.
What I always wondered is if they had the same computer voice on every ship.
They did, right?
I don't know.
You're asking me.
On every
or was it like a GPS system where different vendors, manufacturers had a different...
You could set it to like a British voice.
Or like Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, or...
Or, I mean, what if it was an entire crew
we'll
of Andorians or whatever?
Factor 9.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe the Andorians have a specific voice they like to hear.
Well,
yeah.
I think on the online game, they have to do it because it's an online multiplayer game where everything is basically customizable and everything like that. But they really have tried to keep it true to the kind of the feel of Star Trek, to where you can customize your uniforms, but you have kind of some leeway to go here and there. But I mean, it still looks like Star Trek uniforms.
Mm.
You can make your ship, you can do all this other stuff. So I just kind of wondered. It kind of got me thinking, like, what if the Federation was kind of loosey-goosey back then about it?
Cool.
Like, because you really only saw the Enterprise. You saw maybe two or three other starships here and there.
Yeah, you didn't spend a lot of time on it.
But, I mean, what if there was, like, casual Fridays on the Yamamoto or something, you know?
Much less lenient.
Yeah, but, I mean, you never know. Captain Jackass.
It was casual. Every day was casual Friday for Wesley.
Oh, well, I mean... Until he got his little cadet's uniform.
That's right.
And then power went to his head. Both of them.
Cadet.
Oh, man. No, the you're right though. That whole like interface and all of the infrastructure
and the
way that everything had such a very detailed, like, it was the kind of show where like you could tell, and I mean, imagine this is for every iteration, like, you know how like most shows that have a really deep like mythology, they have like a Bible or whatever, like a show producer's Bible, so that you don't deviate from it. But it was like so palpable in those, like in that series and all of those series where you know, everything was sort of clearly an outgrowth of something else,
right?
You know,
they didn't just make I mean, they would just make stuff up, but I mean, usually it wasn't like, oh, let's just have a plot device.
Right.
It's like, let's actually do something to make sense within the universe and the canon.
Like anchored to something.
Right. I mean, they did. There were some episodes, you know, any show's going to have their bad episodes where they didn't, you know, hit it. But I think for the most part, 90% of the shows, where they tried to get it, they really did get it.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think Star Trek has always been a really big, like, I mean, you look at the original series, I mean, our flip phone, our, I mean, any of our phones are way better than any of the communicators that they had. I mean, other than the fact that we can not speak to a fucking starship that's 40 miles
above
our head.
Only because there's none up there.
Right,
right, right.
Well, they'd be above the
we could talk to the ISS, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
International Space
Station. Yeah, we
can.
We do it all the time.
They tweeted.
All the freaking time, man.
They did, yeah.
I do it.
Yeah.
I did it last night.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But I don't know. I think that there's a lot we could do to catch up to Star Trek, and I just don't think that we're really. Wow. I think that the technology is catching up quicker than the
That's
social
right.
aspects are.
Wolf Blitzer beamed in on election night or whatever.
Stop it. But I think that.
Look at me, man! I'm a hologram. I can't believe this.
Man, that's a remarkable Wolf Blitzer impression.
Really good. It sounded good.
Damn,
like
you nailed it.
Thank you.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think that people have been more concentrated on trying to copy the technological aspects as opposed to the social aspects. And I think that Gene Roddenberry would be a little upset about the way that some of the Star Trek is gone. Not all of it, but, like, a lot of the way that I think that it's just kind of dying. And it's just there's no more creativity anymore. It's just about money-making. I mean, he was back. I mean, even when Roddenberry was around, he was an old-school guy. So he knows what it was. And he was there when the creativity was slightly more inclusive than it was now. I mean, now it's just a movie-making machine.
Well, and then, too, you didn't have, like, a fan base that you had to service. You know, now they're sort of balancing it between, like, you know, okay, we have, like, this, just the general populace or whatever, the people you would normally market to. And then you also have, like, a billion, you know, people who will go see it and nitpick every little element
and
of
bomb
it.
Bomb you with emails or real mail. I mean, I mean,
he didn't have that problem. Well, he did, I guess, to a certain extent when the movie started.
Eventually,
after.
You know, yeah.
But I mean, basically, back then, they were just making shows and they're like, okay, if people watch it, they don't. If they watch it, it's good. If they don't, it gets canceled.
Well,
I mean, it wasn't like they weren't trying to
appease the shepherding.
He wasn't trying to, like,
multi-million-dollar property.
Right.
He wouldn't experience that because what came from him would, I would guess, be automatically accepted by the fan base that, you know, this is his creation and you know, he is the originator, so you wouldn't,
but
why would you question what his input would be?
But then the first two seasons of Next Generation were directly under Gene's control, and they are some of the worst episodes of Star Trek ever made.
I think part of that is due to the fact that, you know, it was, what, the late 80s, and those first couple seasons really kind of adhere to the hokiness that existed.
They
kind
of tried.
The original series.
They tried to,
you know,
to split that difference between, like, being an intellectual show and being kind of a goofy cowboy show.
Yeah.
You could tell.
By that point, had matured a bit beyond what they wanted out of a show.
A bit.
Yeah. And now we've far regressed. Yes.
So I mean, matured in terms of, like, they wanted to be more serious or a bit more earnest.
They wanted to be more something to the show as opposed to just, hey, look, there's an alien, let's kill him.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
Well, I think, too, like, in context, like, the part of what the original series was that was held so highly, you know, so highly regarded was the way that they did sometimes tackle, like, those issues.
Yeah,
in Next Generation, it was sort of like they had a broader palette to work with.
They weren't really. We're looking at, like, you know, we're dealing with racism today. We're dealing with tried to do
it wasn't
more
quite as cut and dry.
They tried to spread it out a little bit.
Those first two seasons, they did attempt that more sort of.
They,
like,
did
on
it
the
was
nose,
really freaking,
like,
preachy.
You know, and that's what I mean by audiences matured. Audience, like, yeah, we get it. You know, racism is bad. Sexism is bad. It's the late 80s, and
I think
we're all becoming more enlightened, and they needed to be a bit more. Nuanced.
Yeah, somewhat. Yeah. I mean, it is true. I mean, if Roddenberry wouldn't have been there for the first two seasons, you know, who's saying? I've been picking on the first two seasons a lot. There are some good episodes in there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was like Gene was trying to take the 60s and put it into the 90s, and it just.
I don't think it worked as well. It was simply the lens that you saw it through. Right. Like, the themes and the ideas put forward in the 60s, I think, are still relevant. It's how do you approach them has to change.
A little less cut and dry and a little more.
Yeah.
Maybe it's this instead of that.
Yeah, give it something more nuanced or
textured.
Textured.
A little textured.
Tonight on Masterpiece Theater.
Oh, God.
Man, I haven't seen that show in a long time.
Favorite of all series, favorite character.
Favorite character? You're going to have to come back to me on that one. I don't know.
That's hard. That's a really hard choice.
It is hard.
Favorite character.
I really like Bashir. Julian Bashir.
Yeah.
Fuck, I got to go with Khan, man.
Don't.
I gotta go with Khan.
Khan's a good character, man. I got, you know, I mean, he's the only one from the series besides the original pair of characters that made their own movie. Like,
yeah.
Who else had a movie named after them?
Nobody. Well, and who,
there's no Wrath of Shatner.
No.
You know, there's no Wrath of Kirk. Seriously, like, who else did they put in the movie title's name? Like, nobody.
Yeah.
Well, Instant Contact from First Contact.
Right, yeah.
I shall leave you as you left me. Marooned for all eternity. Center of a dead planet, buried alive.
Star Trek. Do you have a favorite ship or ship type?
I do.
Favorite ship? Not really.
I do.
Out of what? Any of the, like, the... Well, I mean, as maybe as a fan, you didn't really watch much of the... you watched Next Gen and mm-hmm. the original, right?
Somewhat. Mm-hmm. And the movies.
Okay.
Are so you talking about, like, between, like, the Klingon ships and...
Whatever.
Sure, yeah. Ships and... What's your favorite? What floats your boat?
I don't know. I like the shuttlecraft.
Yeah, the classic shuttlecraft or the next gen.
The next gen shuttlecraft with kind of one. The little rounded.
You keep saying shuttlecraft.
I do not.
But yeah, no, they had like two or three different ones on next gen. They had that rounded one that had like the weird nacelles on the front, and then they had that one that was like all sharp and pointy at the front.
Yeah, like little pencils on the thing. Yeah, little number two pencils.
Yeah, and then there's the runabouts. Those are always good.
I like the runabouts. Defiant. That was my favorite ship, the Defiant.
Yeah.
Deep Space Nine.
Hmm.
That was their ship.
Mm-hmm.
The only ship.
But they were on a space station.
Yes, but they had their own.
Once the war started.
What's the point of having a ship if
it was the
with
only,
a cloaking device?
Yeah. Only Federation ship with a cloaking device at that point, anyway. I don't know if anything came of that. Star Trek Experience.
Let's not talk about this.
We've never gone. Did you go?
I went.
I don't have to bludgeon you.
Everyone hates you.
I went.
We all hate you.
I made a special trip.
Let's see.
I was. This is 2004.
Tell us about it.
2004 Thanksgiving weekend. It was good. It surpassed my expectations because I went into it thinking like, you know, okay, this is gonna be, you know, there's gonna be one thing about this that's like really nicely detailed, and then everything else is just gonna be like, oh, here's some Star Trek shit.
You were thinking it was gonna be like the Six Flags of
Theme parks. Exactly. Where, like, you know, the front door is like a really detailed, look at it, and then you walk through and it's like
Batman hasn't been painted in 20 years.
No, but they did a really good job with it. Like, at the time, or there was the original Star Trek experience, and then there was the Borg experience. And the original one, they were both really good. The original one.
Both?
I went to both. So, yeah, the first one, like, you actually get beamed.
You're breaking my heart.
Yeah, so you're standing on the platform, they rush you into the shuttle bay, and then you get into the simulator, right? It's like a simulator.
Why didn't they just beam you onto the ship? Why
do
they
They beam you onto the ship. They beam you out of the training whatever area and onto the ship.
I forget why.
I guess because the planet was under attack or something.
Yeah, it was the Klingon.
Why didn't they just beam you? Why didn't they just beam you to your final destination?
Into the shuttlecraft or?
Where did the shuttlecraft go?
Well, eventually it lands on Earth. It goes back in time and lands on Earth.
Now,
present day.
So they beamed you away from Earth.
Where are you now? Yeah, because they transported you into the future onto the Enterprise.
Yeah.
But I'm essentially happening here.
Right. And then eventually your shuttlecraft travels back in time and crash lands in Las Vegas. And that's how you get back to the hotel.
Then you go to the Quark's Bar on the promenade.
Yeah.
So you've then gone back to the future.
Sort of.
Great Scott.
Yes. Yes, Quark's Bar. That's sort of like the centerpiece of it.
The promenade.
Right. So you can get to that without actually buying the right, experience. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But and there's a shop there, a gift shop,
what
or whatever.
What happens in the experience?
What?
After you get beamed, you're on the shuttle.
They walk you through part of the ship, don't they?
Yeah, like
they
you get to see. You, get to, you go through the bridge. What it's ship? The Next Generation.
Enterprise.
Damn.
That is
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get to walk through the bridge, and then you get on the shuttlecraft, and then there's a space battle. I mean, I only went through it one time. I didn't have a chance to go back and like dissect it or whatnot.
What happened to the Borg?
So the Borg one was even better, because while the transporter thing was
cool. You
got
transported again.
No. I forget how it starts out. Oh, I don't remember. Maybe you take the shuttlecraft to the... I can't remember how it starts out.
You visit the Borg planet.
You're eventually under attack by the Borg.
Right. That's surprise.
That's the big thing. You're under attack. So you're on this ship, this Starfleet ship.
This space ship.
And you're under attack by the Borg. Okay. And they gotta get you out of there. Earth. So you're like on the bridge and you're like, we gotta get you out of here now. And so you're running through the ship.
Like, but I paid for this.
Meanwhile, the Borg has already infiltrated it. They're already there. So they are literally, there are like Borg that are like coming out of the walls at you as you're running through the hallway.
Yeah.
And they're like shooting phasers. Like they actually have laser beams coming out of these phasers.
Did anybody die?
The Borg died.
Oh.
Oh no, one guy does get assimilated.
Nice.
I forgot about that.
Is
yeah.
He a secret actor?
He's like a plant. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. So like you know, you're walking along and somebody actually gets grabbed by one of the Borg and pulled back, and later on you run into him again and he's all Borgified.
Did he have like a fanny pack on, and then later the Borg version also has a fanny pack, but it's got like Borg implants on the fanny pack.
I don't know. Awesome. But that's a good idea.
Like he has a neon hat on.
Yeah, yeah. Like a painter's cap.
And dad shorts. And
big old knee socks.
Yes. And like a giant VHS cassette.
Oh, this is great, Martha. Except the VHS is now in his hand.
Yeah.
They never update this guy. He's always got a
motherfucker still in the beta.
Giant camcorder.
He's got like a big old fucking track player in his
hand. The camcorder is attached to his head when he's a Borg. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Randy's still playing cassettes over there.
That's pretty incredible.
Oh man, I am jealous.
Pretty amazing. Yeah, I can't believe that they closed it, honestly. I mean, I guess it's the kind of thing where it was so far off the strip that unless you were a dedicated Star Trek person, you're not going to go see it. You're not just going to happen upon it.
They closed
you know?
It, and then didn't they reopen it briefly?
No, they didn't. There were plans to reopen it, and the big stupid mall that they've got out there, one of these malls, one of the guys had said that he was going to bring it out there, and the plans completely fell through. Yeah, no. I had always heard that it was really good from the people that I had known that went. I do regret not making it out there.
Oh, there was a museum too.
Yeah, yeah, I heard.
There
about
was a museum too. I got pictures of Spock's
his panel
carcass.
I've been a part of the Star Trek crew. Woo! I have been a part of a Star Trek crew.
Have you?
In fact, many of my family have.
Oh, I know what you're gonna say.
We
now.
Visited Universal Studios.
The Star Trek Experience.
There was the Star Trek Experience there. And at the time, this was based on the
This
movies.
Is Universal Studios in Hollywood. Right?
Florida.
Florida? They had it in Florida?
I don't know. They might have had it in Hollywood, too. Okay. I did it in Florida.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So this experience was based off of the Star Trek movies that were coming out then, so the original series movies. Mm-hmm. And essentially, if you lined up early for it, you got to be a part of the show. Mm-hmm. And they took you backstage. So me, my dad, my sister, and my brother all went backstage. My mom watched the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way this plays out, we have the video.
Mm-hmm.
The way this plays out is they essentially take clips from the movie
mm-hmm.
with the main actors and cut them in with your scenes.
Right.
So like there's a opening shot on the bridge and it starts on the turbolift door and it opens. My dad's behind the turbolift door and he walks out. And he does some shtick and then he goes to go back to the turbolift door, and as he approaches it the door closes, so he presses a button and it opens, then he walks toward it and it closes. This whole bit with him not being able to get the turbolift door open to be open for him. And then the ship is attacked by Klingons, and the Klingons are also played by guests. Mm-hmm. So there's this dude in a, like, all he's got is the Klingon skull cap. They didn't do anything else to put the costume on him. Yeah. Like, they didn't make it.
It's like, probably just one of those t-shirt costumes, too, right, where they just, like, zip it up the back, or, like, Velcro it up the back, yeah.
There was also a kid, and John, you would have been as envious as I was of this kid in the Klingon area. He got to wear this dragon dog outfit. He was, like, full, covered fully in this, it was like a little dragon. Like, he was the pet of this Klingon. And the Klingon guy said one line in Klingon. It was like, Kling talk, Nimbo, ah, ha, ha, ha. And, like, they cut that line into every instance where the Klingon had to talk. Kirk would say something, and it would cut to him saying that line. And it was always the same shot.
Yeah.
So the Klingons attack, right? And so they're like, we're getting weird disturbances down on the planet, sir. Mm-hmm. And he's like, send an away team. And so my brother, it cuts to my brother in a line on the transporter pad, and he gets beamed down to the surface. And then they get attacked by the Klingons, and he gets beat up with a foam rock. Like, he had a communicator, and he opened it up, and he goes, there's no sign of activity down here, sir, to Captain Kirk. And then he gets hit over the head with a rock. My sister and I were, as I said, engineers. Mm-hmm. And when we were backstage, they're telling us what we're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guys comes to me, and he goes, we're going to put you in this tube. And he points to this sort of, like, it looks like a vacuum tube, like a man-sized vacuum tube.
It's one of the Jeffries tubes, one of the original.
Yeah, Jeffries tubes. Yeah, exactly. You're going to put you in this tube, and what's going to happen is we're going to pour 10 gallons of water over you, and when that happens, press your face up against the glass and blow on it.
Yeah, no.
And I'm all for it.
Yeah,
press your face up against this glass that has been...
Yeah, I think back to this now, I'm like, I must
be sketchy.
What kind of diseases did I...
filthy-ass water did 17
families a day.
Hey, keep your mouth closed, kid. That's gray water. You don't want that in your mouth.
So it gets to the hour bit, and the stage was weird. It, like, rotated. Mm-hmm. So we would get in place, and the stage rotated out to face the crowd, the audience. Oh, wow. And then they filmed our bit. And basically what happens in our bit is that Angela, my sister, and one of the other kids are putting these rods into a machine, an apparatus. And this is how they're, like, dealing with whatever issue is going on with the ship. And they do it wrong. And it cuts to me and the Jeffries tube. And they pour the water down. And I'm essentially dying. Mm-hmm. I have a death scene in this thing. When we did it, they poured the water on me, and the director is like, I think we need a better take. Let's take that one again. And so they poured 20 gallons of water on me in the end. And I had to press my face up against that thing twice. And blow on it. And in the actual video, I'm there for like 2 seconds. I'm like beating on the Jeffries tube, and then the water comes down, and I struggle to get my face on the thing and blow. My dad had to do the shaking thing, like when the bridge was being attacked. Oh, he had to pretend like it was... Yeah, he was having... It's actually, you can hear him at one point, the Spock or Kirk or some, or Uhura, one of them, says, "We're, you know, the Klingons are attacking," and it cuts the bridge, and everyone on the bridge freaks out, and you can hear my dad going, "Oh, no!"
Most professional reaction from a Starfleet officer.
Oh, no! And he was like, I got the sense that he was an uppity up on that bridge. Like,
yeah, like
he
was doing mouse.
Serious stuff. And then he's doing the whole, like, shake.
Oh,
and,
no!
Yeah, that was awesome.
Oh, man, I need to see that.
I having received all your letters over the years, and I've spoken to many of you, and some of you have traveled, you know, hundreds of miles to be here, I'd just like to say, get a life, will you, people? I mean, for crying out loud, it's just a TV show. I mean, look at you. Look at the way you're dressed. You've turned an enjoyable little job that I did as a lark for a few years into a colossal waste of time. I mean, how old are you people? What have you done with yourselves? You must be almost 30. Have you ever kissed a girl? I didn't think so. There's a whole world out there. When I was your age,
well, I think we've talked about Star Trek. Brett, you should say it's been archived. That's how mm-hmm. we sign out.
Star Trek.
What? Wait, so do I say Star Trek?
No, we say Star Trek.
We're gonna say you guys. Star Trek, and then you'll say it's been archived.
Do you guys do editing on this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It would be kind of a weird stream of consciousness.
Well, we leave stuff in. I like to leave in mistakes and stuff.
Yeah, we...
Personally. Well, it makes it a little more human.
Well, you do all the editing, so it's up to you, but that's right. I make suggestions.
Editing Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. John Dedeke. I like that.
For example, I'm going to cut out, like, everything, and it's just going to be me talking about how stupid Star Trek is.
Star Trek's really lame, man. Dumb. Star Wars is so much cooler, bro.
And I'm going to, like, insert little bits, like...
Star Trek sucks!
I say, like, man, Star Trek's retarded, and then I insert you going, yes! Yes!
Oh, yeah!
Oh, man. All right, Star Trek.
It's been archived.